very good morning to you. Welcome into Thursday's programme with you until 12 midday. During the week, I told you we got some sad news. Today we'll be talking about the loss of a young legend indeed who has really got into the hearts of everybody. We're looking and celebrating Regional Women's Caucus. Seanna Cursula is in the States preparing for St. Patrick's Day. We're going back to the Clifton Hospital, District Hospital debacle there as well. International Women's Day, we've quite a bit on that today, by the way. We can't really cover a lot tomorrow because of the moratorium, so we have to be careful there. Connacht Tribune headlines, Galway Sami Community joins. We've got Pet Talks, we've got Culture Corner, and we've got a wonderful giveaway in association with the Ortolone Hotel. That and more between now and 12 midday. Good morning. Now, you're going to have to be fairly quick today on the keyboard when I give you details of that Ortolone competition, because we're going to give you a chance to win. And so you have to be kind of hanging around there and on the keyboard. But do stay with us. Now, during the week, I forget what day it was. Was it Tuesday? I got a call to say, during the programme, to say that the wonderful, indeed, Saoirse Ruane had passed away. And again, Saoirse has been all parts of our lives for the last long number of years, because of the illness that she so bravely carried. And I can only imagine what the family are going through. Just so young, so much to give. I was in her presence recently enough, indeed, at the People of the Year Awards, where she got a major award, where she was just so honest and her mom was so honest. And I was talking to her, but I brought the mom in. And we had just a lovely gathering of people together. But she was just herself, so she was. But she was the hero of the night, I have to say, in the Galway Bay Hotel. But her passing and the amount of texts I've got since Tuesday stroke Wednesday, and even this morning, the amount of texts I've got from people from all over the country to say they were sorry to hear that Saoirse had passed away. Now, our funeral is tomorrow, and it's a family event, and friends and family and that. We'll talk about that in a minute. But somebody's been very close to the family, and somebody was on the night in question in the Galway Bay Hotel was first up to greet her with his wife, indeed, is Kieran Cannon. This is not about politics. This is not about music. This is not about anything. This is about one young girl who's no longer with us. Kieran, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith.
A difficult one for you.
It's difficult for anybody who was privileged to know Saoirse Ruane, for all of our community around her in Kiltulla and Bolan. But obviously, my God, how you even begin to contemplate, you probably don't understand how horrific and challenging this is for her family, her immediate family. I mean, we all were, as I say, privileged to share some of our lives with the remarkable Saoirse. You know, that night in the Galway Bay Hotel for the Galway People of the Year Awards, it was, first of all, it was fantastic. She was the youngest and will be the youngest ever recipient of that award. And that award is really special. It's essentially the community of Galway coming together and identifying people who inspire us. And that's exactly what Saoirse did. And on the night, I just thought she showed great dignity and serenity. And that just that heartwarming smile everywhere she turned, that smile broke across her face and melted your heart and all of our hearts that night. So it's a really difficult time, for, as I say, for the community and for the people that knew her.
It is. Oh, I mean, that was the 10th of November, so it was. And I remember talking to mom and dad beforehand, and they'd got bad news on the day in question. But that bad news was never given to Saoirse. But I think, Deep down, Saoirse knew that she was ill.
Saoirse had a wisdom far beyond her years, and maybe that wisdom comes in the face of adversity, in the face of an illness returning to challenge you again and again and again. Just when you think you've beaten it, it comes back at you again. And she developed an extraordinary wellspring of dignity and courage in the face of that adversity, in the face of those challenges. So, and you know, in her very short 12 years, she packed so much into that little short life, more than most of us would fit in a lifetime, Keith. Anybody who had the privilege of knowing her, of sitting down chatting with her, as I said, there was that great dignity, that great serenity. And you know, through Rosanna's work and Saoirse's work in fundraising, in partnership with the Late Late Show at that time, you know, using her, the challenges that she faced, using, you know, all of the difficulty and the adversity and the hurt and the pain she was going through, using that to help others was the hallmark of Saoirse Ruan. It was, and it made absolute sense to her that, you know, if she had this platform, and she did, a very significant public platform, that she would use that to fundraise and to support others, particularly young people who were going through similar challenges. So, you know, she inspired all of us, Keith, just to be better people every day, and also to hold the people we love closer to us every day, because she did that in spades. She knew that she had perhaps a limited time on this earth, and she was going to use that time to the maximum benefit of the people that the people she loved, her family, her immediate family, and indeed her wider community. So we're all the poorer for not having Saoirse Ruan around this morning. We certainly are.
I remember talking to Rosanna on the night in question, and Ollie and the family, they were all there, but I turned to Rosanna and she was saying every day was a gift. Every day was a gift, and it has been a gift to them. But the saying goodbye is going to be just so tough on them, because she was their life with the rest of the family.
And she always will be. You know, she has found a place into the hearts of so many people around this country. But, you know, ultimately, and I think, you know, when over the next 3 or 4 days now, I think we have to really focus and reflect on that, that this is a family who have lost a sister, a daughter, a niece, a granddaughter, and to them, to give them the space and the privacy and to be able to work through that and you know, find a way to somehow rationalize that in their heads. And I think, you know, Rosanna has sang with us many times in our local choir in Kiltulla. She's a great friend to all of us. She's an inspiration for the strength and the courage that she has showed. I think just, you know, now is the time to kind of step back. And, you know, the notice in RIP this morning has outlined how exactly they would like for this to happen. And I know that people would respect their wishes. So.
And rightly so.
But, you know, any of us who are parents, you know, if you're a parent of a young boy or a young girl and they're out, I don't know, playing a camogie game or a hurling game and they get a lash of a hurl, I mean, you're really traumatized by it, you know. So how you even begin to cope with the fact that, you know, your young child is not going to be with you any longer? Mm-hmm. How do you begin to live with that? And I know they've prepared well for it, and I know they've got a lot of support from experts in this area, but that doesn't make it any easier. All of our thoughts, Keith, are with them this morning. And, you know, the community in Bullon and in Kiltulla has repeatedly reassured them that they're there to help, they're there to assist, and we'll be there, you know, long after today to support the Ruan family through what will be a very, very challenging time in the months and years ahead.
It is, Ben. Saoirse is going to repose at home tomorrow, Friday the 8th of March, from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. And there's a bus service is going to run from the car parks in Bullon Church, indeed. And they've asked everyone just to park at the church and just take the direction of the stewards and that.
Exactly.
And just use the bus service. I mean, it's a tight community.
Where you see, the strength and the solidarity of rural communities coming out to support a family who are going through a remarkably difficult time. So, you know, so if people can respect it, and I'm sure they will respect that, and just
I think they will, but I think the family have done it so beautifully, and you know, they've had time to think about it, but they've done it so beautifully. The cortege will arrive on Sunday the 10th of March in Peter and Paul's Church in Kiltulla at 1:45 for Mass at 2 p.m. and then she'll be led to rest in Bullon Cemetery after Mass there. But again, the family are quite clear as well, just respect their privacy on Thursday, which is today, and Saturday as well, and Sunday morning. And again, just if you've sympathised once with them, there's no need to go to the Mass at the same time. Just, it's, I suppose, a little bit of common sense, but people want to be part of their lives, but they need space. And I spoke to somebody who's lost in a similar situation this morning, a friend who was on to me when they heard about Saoirse, and they said what they really needed at the time was space. So I think they need support, but they need space now as well. But that'll all come right as well.
It will, Keith. If we all just reflect on the fact that, you know, that somebody has lost a precious, precious child here, and, you know, that people need to be able to work through that in the privacy of their own home. And I agree with you. I think people will absolutely respect that. So it's just an exceptionally difficult time for all of us, as I say, who were privileged to know her. She was a remarkable young woman.
She always will be.
She always will be. I mean, you know, all of us, when we lose somebody who's really close to us, we take with us, and they help us, the memories that we've shaped together. And my God, you know, Rosanna and Ollie and Saoirse and Farrah Rose and the whole Rowan family, they've made some incredible memories together. And I know that those memories will give them great comfort, will live on for many, many years to come. And that, you know, no matter where we encounter the Rowan family, that smile. And again, it was such a beautiful part of her personality. That warm, kind, almost benevolent smile will always stay with us. It'll always be there, never forgotten and never lost to us. So, as I say, my deepest sympathy to all of them. They're going through an incredibly tough time, a time that no parent would ever want to contemplate.
Absolutely. Listen, thank you so much for joining us. The Kieran Cannon there, not Deputy Kieran Cannon, just Kieran. And he was extremely upset when I spoke to him early this morning. So he really pulled himself together just to talk to us. This was the piece of music which we spoke to her about, which is Sing for Saoirse. So we're just going to play a little bit of it today. But again, just for the family, condolences. No words can actually explain what they're going through, but just it's a tough time. Condolences to them. I won't be with you tomorrow, or indeed on Sunday either, by the way. So, but I will make contact with you in the coming weeks again. But may she rest in peace. And she's looking down this morning on us. But this piece of music kind of summarised the whole thing for me today.
Love.
sing for Saoirse. May she rest in peace. Now, very good morning to you. If you have any interest at all in politics or in the future having an interest in politics, our next two guests might whet your appetite as well. Ireland's first regional women's caucus to host webinar series celebrating women in local politics is available to you. Councillor Mary Hoad and Councillor Shelley Hertridge Quinn sit opposite me. Councillors, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith.
Well, lads, you could sing a song for me, so you could, on the way you came out there. Listen, talk to me about this Women's Caucus and the webinars, Mary.
Well, Keith, I suppose, and before I do that, can I just be associated with the words of sympathy to the Ruane family on the death of Saoirse Ruane? I think she touched the lives of everybody. And Arieshje Garawa Anam Jilish. Just, I suppose, Keith, when I was president of the AILG, one of the things that we focused on was the setting up of a Women's Caucus in the department. Very kindly supported us in that regard, and now we have a very strong network of Midlands, Northern, Western Women's Caucus, where the different areas come together.
And politics doesn't come into it; it's just like-minded people.
The women's network is for women who are involved in politics or who are elected.
Yeah, yes,
the series of webinars is a different thing. What we have done with the support of Minister Ciarán O'Donnell is we are now providing a series of webinars, and on those webinars are the opportunities where you have a panel to discuss. We have three different themes. One took place yesterday, and I was happy to be one of the panelists. And yesterday's topic was navigating the path in local politics. The next one on the 20th of March is political platform, navigating, thriving, and leading as a woman. And the third one is future perspective, sustaining and growing women's participation in politics. You don't have to be in politics to log on to any one of those webinars. You can be a woman in the community, a woman in leadership in any area, or somebody who has a genuine interest in participating in politics. And it's all about collaborating, sharing ideas, supporting, mentoring, and working together as a team.
But it's a huge support mechanism to have, because when you started out in politics, there was no mechanism like that.
Absolutely, Keith, and that's one of the things. Minister O'Donnell was on the webinar yesterday with both myself, Councillor Thomasina O'Connell, who's a Fine Gael councillor, and Councillor Louise Haven, who is a Green Party councillor. And I think this is non-party political, it's cross-party, it's independent, it includes everybody. But what it really does, as you said at the outset, it provides a network. And I think things have changed immensely from when I started. We now have maternity leave for women. We now have the opportunity where we have hybrid meetings. We have a greater work-life balance. There's a lot done, but let me tell you, there's an awful lot more to do. But their support network is there, and I would encourage anybody who has an interest to log on to one of the webinars. There's a participation process where you can ask the panelists questions, and it's really about making sure that you get in there. If you have any fears or concerns, share them. It's a nice, safe space.
Is this a national grouping, or is this just purely for the West of Ireland?
It's Midlands, Northern and Western region. So we have a number
European
of local authorities. Yes. We have a number of local authorities that have bought into it. That's the one that we're in here in this area. Certainly other areas have the options to set them up as well.
Councillor Shelley Archer-Quinn, I mean, you're at pains to say you don't have to have a political background, because your background was not politics.
Correct.
Your dad's background was not politics.
That's right, Keith. I would have been apolitical before I got involved in politics. And I just also like to say on behalf of Athenry that we would like to extend our sympathies, our deepest sympathies to the Ruane family on the passing of Saoirse this week. I'm vice chair of the Regional Women's Caucus. And what I would say to any woman who has a vague interest even in getting involved in politics or supporting a woman who is in politics is to please log on to these webinars. I will be chairing the next one on the 22nd of March, and I came from a community activism background. I was raising two kids in Athenry with my husband Brian, who's a very proud Athenry man, and I suppose my involvement in the community got me noticed by the local political party, the local Fianna Fáil Cumann, who thought I'd be a good candidate to run in the local elections in 2019. So that's what I did, and I was successful. I suppose for myself it could have been considered a social experiment, but having gotten involved in politics now, the support that I've found from my party and by forming this Regional Women's Caucus, the first of its kind in Ireland, has been crucial. The supports that we get there are very, very good.
And it's good to have that camaraderie and that support there. But I mean, having come from where you came from and moved to Athenry, have you enjoyed it? And I want you to be honest with me now here, because there's been moments in politics for you. Have you enjoyed it?
I absolutely have, despite the moments that you would be aware of. I've really, really enjoyed it.
How did you find the party structure? Not just Fianna Fáil, but how did you find the structure and the diktats and the restrictions on you?
Well, I suppose you don't notice them at local level, Keith, really. You are so busy doing the work on the ground.
But when you have to vote with the whip and perhaps your heart says otherwise.
Well, we haven't had that experience in Galway County Council. We have a very good working relationship on the committee. Okay. Do you know what I mean?
So there's no negatives, really?
There's not currently, no. I mean, we're all individuals and we have our own opinions, obviously, you know. But we work very well together as a committee, trying to get our own various points over the line.
Did you ever sit down at night time and scratch your head and say to Brian, why did I do this?
Sometimes there would be, but they wouldn't be inside the chamber. They'd be more outside the chamber.
Yeah.
But it's I have to say, it's probably one of the most rewarding jobs I've had so far, and I've had many various different jobs in my career, everything from public, private to charity sector. I feel the opportunity you have to make a contribution in your community, to bring a lot of money to your area, is absolutely, it's quite unique. It's very humbling, and I have to say that it's been an absolute honour to serve the Athenry Oranmore Municipal District this past 5 years.
Amiri, I come back to you because, I mean, you were born into politics. You, I mean, politics has been part of your life since birth, really.
Well, Keith, I suppose, yes, and I've been on the council quite a while and, you know, delighted to be to represent the people. But I think that, you know, you talked about there, you know, making decisions and that. I think it's all about openness and transparency and the opportunity to discuss. And as a group, we always meet as a group and we always air our views. And, you know, you reach a consensus because that's what life is all about.
To be honest, you and I know are knocking around a long time, and there has been moments, you know, where there's been tension and you have to try and work your way through that tension.
Absolutely, Keith, but any walk of life.
Social media now is that's a whole new kettle of fish altogether now.
Yes, indeed. I think that was one of the things that came across on the webinar yesterday. If you were to look at any of the major changes that took place between the last campaign and this campaign, everybody would have identified the whole role of social media and the role that social media is now playing in campaigns and in life in general for everybody.
But it can be rotten, so to say.
It can. You know, it can be good and it can be very difficult. I suppose it's all about using it respectfully. And I think anybody who decides to, you know, put a comment up or leave any kind of views in relation to anything should be mindful of being respectful to everybody, because at the end of the day, respect is a great thing, and you know, it's a two-way thing. It's earned and it's given.
Yeah, but again, I do think that the companies in question on social media, they've got a duty of care as well. Have you found social media difficult?
I'll be honest with you, Keith, I've probably been one of the lucky ones. For whatever reason, the trolls have steered clear of me. Maybe it's because I'm not contentious. I deliver the facts rather than, escalating or being, dramatic about exaggerating a situation. Yeah. Basically, my job is to bring the money and bring the good news to my area. And if people want to get into a negative debate, there's other platforms they can use for that. And I won't engage in that.
And Mary, you're the mother of a young daughter, indeed. Would you let your daughter go into politics?
Well, look, everybody has. She'd have to make her own career decision in life, Keith. She loves politics.
Well, she does.
Look, I suppose I have to say that I'm familiar with, just to go back one step from what Shelley was saying there, I'm familiar with one of my colleagues who had to leave politics as a result of social media, a mother of young children in the Dublin area. And I just do feel that, you know, I mean, that's very sad. But look, as I say, going back to everybody, I think it has been a very rewarding career. And I think any day that you can walk away and say, I've made the community that I live in a better place because of what I have delivered for my community. And I certainly wouldn't. Politics is changing. It's very different from election to election. I wouldn't discourage anybody. I would say if you have the interest and if you have the genuine desire for it, I would say go for it.
And what about some of your male colleagues, and both mics are open, by the way, that would try and take credit for something that she had delivered? I mean, does that annoy you, Shelley?
Oh, it happens frequently, I suppose at the end of the day, we do work together in government to bring the money to the area. I think people know who the grassroots workers are and who are making the applications for the funding and working with the community groups and getting things done.
And Mary, was that an IU?
Well, look, that's politics, Keith, so you can't, you know, you
as
can't
she says with a big smile.
Well, absolutely, but that's politics. That's the art of politics, and we're not going to change that, unfortunately, you know. But I think it's all about, at the end of the day, as I say, if you can say, I delivered for my community doing whatever, then your community is a better place.
Yeah. You are going in the election, the next election?
Yes, indeed I am.
General election, you did go before, will you go again?
Well, Keith, I have to face the local elections first now and we'll see what happens after that.
Would you like it a term in Kildare Street?
Well, sure, you never say never in this game. You always say you're ambitious, you always say you'd like to, but you know, it all depends on your constituency, it all depends
on
the...
So you're going local first?
Yes, I'm concentrating on the local elections first.
Shelley, you going again?
I absolutely am, Keith, yeah. I've really enjoyed the past 5 years. I have a lot more to do, and I think at least one more term, and I'd be very happy in the Athenry or Moore Municipal District.
So, coming back then to the caucus and the webinars, where can they get details on the webinar, can I ask you, Mary, again?
Yeah, there's we have the AILG, which the Association of Irish Local Government, and See Her Elected, which is a very good organisation which works very closely with the AILG. Both of those have a website and both of those are advertising on the forthcoming dates.
What is the age to go for election?
Well, I suppose anybody over 18 years of age can contest an election.
Yeah, from the voting age upwards.
Can I just say, Keith, one other thing as well, I suppose, and Shelley and myself attended it on Tuesday. We had a beautiful day in the Customs House on Tuesday. Minister Kieran O'Donnell was there, where one of our former colleagues, Sinead Guckin, a former councillor for over 20 years, unveiled a piece of art, and that will be forever proudly displayed in the actual Customs House, and it's all about trying to promote and encourage more women. And we did that to mark International Women's Day, which is tomorrow. Yeah. And I think it's a really special day. And we've been, I suppose, very fortunate over the last few years that we marked this day particularly. Yeah. But that's what we did
and
this year.
And mark it well.
And we mark it well.
The unfortunate thing, which you have no control over, is there's a moratorium kicks in at 2 o'clock today, which kind of restricts really what we can do tomorrow, because we have to be very careful, because we can't breach that type of stuff.
Absolutely, and that's outside our control. And I think that's why we had... That's why we had our launch, unfortunately, on Tuesday in the Customs House. But it was a lovely event, and I think it's really important that we continue to try and encourage and promote more and more women. But obviously, as I said earlier, it's all about making the work-life balance easier for people.
And Keith, if I could just, before we finish, just to encourage women to come and talk to us, really, if they have any questions or any interest at all. Because I have to say, since I joined local government, I've had so many opportunities. It's a small market, if you want to put it that way, in business terms. My party have supported me. They sent me away to Brussels for fantastic mentoring with the Alliance of Her. You, as a woman, because you're in a minority group, and Mary was telling me only 15 women were elected to Galway County Council in the past, I think 25 years since you were there, Mary.
Wow.
This doesn't reflect society. It doesn't reflect the diversity of our county. And I would have to say, please, to any woman who is of any background, to please consider putting her name forward in the local elections and indeed even the general elections.
And they can go as independents.
Absolutely. It doesn't necessarily have to be part of a party. We have only 22% of the 949 councillors in this country are female.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you both for joining us today. And that is Councillor Mary Hoad and Councillor Shelley Hartridge Quinn. And thank you indeed for popping into us today. Quick commercial break. We're going live to the States next in preparation for St. Patrick's Day. Now, a very good morning to you. Well, a Galway academic is joining me today to talk about work in the States in the build-up to St. Patrick's Day. Seana Cushtal, indeed, who I've known for many, many years, is spending St. Patrick's Day in the USA. But Sean has been on a Fulbright foreign language teaching assistant at a Catholic university over there. And at some unearthly hour of the morning, he joins me on the line today. Sean, good morning to you. Can you hear me all right there? Oh, sorry, I have to bring Sean up here again. I just took Sean off there. Bear with me one second, Sean, if you can hear me there. I'm coming to you right now. Sean, can you hear me all right?
I can indeed, Keith. Listen, can you hear me?
I can indeed. Congratulations to you. How are you getting on in the States on the Fulbright foreign language teaching?
I was just saying, you called me a lot of things over the years, but that's the first time you ever called me an academic, but I'll take it. I'm getting on good, Keith. Thank you. Going good.
Look at you. We call each other many names, but the academic is what you are today. Listen to me. What time of the day is it over there now? It's 10 to 10 here.
You got me early. It's quarter to five. Yeah, it's normally maybe I'd be knocking around half six. I'm an early bird, as you know, but you got me about an hour and a half early this morning. I hope the voice is all right.
The voice is wonderful, so it is. Listen, and again, the St. Patrick's Day, where will you spend St. Patrick's Day?
Well, actually, believe it or not, Keith, I'm in D.C. I was hoping for Massachusetts, I should say, or Boston area, because as you know, I know Boston. Yeah. Pretty well, I have a lot of relations there, but I got landed in DC in August, and I'm there since at CUA, or Catholic University of America, which is steeped in Irish history and lore and a lot to do with the Gaelic language. It was one of the first universities that had a department for the Gaelic language way back when it was founded in 1896. So on St. Paddy's Day, believe it or not, I'm doing a show, a pretty big show here in DC. Involving poetry, as you know, apart from being an academic, I'm a bit of a poet as well. So I'll be reciting a few poems and telling a few stories and doing a few songs in DC itself. Yeah, under a program called Profs and Pints, as in professors. And Pints. Yeah.
Well, now you left out the most important thing: Profs and Pints, and then Love to Learn. It's about learning, so it is. I've been in the States quite a bit on St. Patrick's Day, so I have, and the pleasure of being in D.C., and I've been in the pleasure of being in Chicago, St. Louis, I've been all over the place. The Americans love to celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
It starts early, Keith, would you believe it? It starts early. For instance, in Alexandria, if you know D.C., Alexandria is a beautiful part on the other side of the Potomac. And beautiful. It reminds me of Galway at times when you're strolling down there.
Yeah.
So the rugby's on Saturday. That helps as well. We're playing against England. But a lot of stuff happening here. It's amazing how they celebrate it here, the Irish-Americans, you know, in music and poetry and anything that goes. So the first St. Pat's Day gig, I think, was on the 2nd of March or so, and it goes right to the end of March, yeah.
So is it this weekend then that you celebrate St. Patrick's Day?
Well, for instance, the march in Alexandria, I believe, is on maybe Sunday, as far as I know. Some of the marches are on the 11th, as early as that. And the bigger ones then happen, some of them happen on the 15th, 16th, you know. Some of them then in other cities on the actual 17th as well. But a lot of the stuff happens beforehand, yeah.
And will you miss home then, Sean, on this one for St. Patrick's Day?
You would, of course, because normally, as you know, in Spiddell, I have the microphone in Spiddell, which is dangerous enough to any passerby. So, you know, there's a lovely event on Spiddell itself, you know, with the floats and everything. And I've been doing that for years. And, you know, absolutely, you will, of course, you know, and you'll be thinking of home and what's happening there, you know. But in America here, and as you know, I spent 3 years of my life in New Zealand and Australia when I was much younger. The celebrations here, there's a lot happens here on the St. Patrick's Day month, I'd call it, Keith, yeah. Instead of St. Patrick's Day. You know? Yeah.
Do you think you'll get into the White House, do you?
Well, I was in before, as you know, in 2016. I was on St. Patrick's Day. While I was CEO of Mintress.
That's right, yeah.
I was lucky enough that time.
I think I met you there that day, actually.
Yeah, I don't think I'll make it this time somehow. Myself and my cousin, Parik O'Kade, were there that time. We met outside. We hadn't it planned or anything, but that was 2016.
Yeah.
I don't think this time, but, you know, I'm happy enough at what's going on. I've been involved in a lot of cultural programs because as a Fulbrighter, it's not just that you're teaching the Irish language in the university, but you have a role as well as what they call to play an ambassador, you know, or to be involved in cultural events. So believe it or not, would you believe it, I was coaching the hurling team here in the university and we won the Eastern Conference competition for the first time ever. So that was a thrill as well. You know?
You're multi-talented, so you are, Sean. You're absolutely multi-talented.
We'll stick to the academic. You've named me now forever. Sean A. O'Kursula.
I've called you out now as the academic, but you've done so much, so you have, for so many people. And again, to be in the States there, I can guarantee you that each and every person that you interact with that has any kind of an Irish bit of blood in them would love to be in Ireland, or be in the position that you're going to be in, is to come home and live in Ireland again.
Well, that's true. That's true. Because, you know, when you talk about the immigrants here, Keith, as you know, I mean, the greatest migration in the world, in the whole world, was post-starvation or post-famine, as they call it here. The greatest migration from one of the smallest nations. And, you know, the famine Irish are still here, you know, and they rose to power. They became powerful in politics, in the church, in a lot of fields, in sports and everything, you know. So, you know, the great thing about what I'm doing is that I will return and can return, yeah, you know, hopefully. Yeah. A lot of the Irish, they had the aspirations of going, you know, especially the Irish that went in the 50s, maybe, mm-hmm, you know, in the 30s. Some of my uncles that went to, my aunts that went to, yeah, Norwood Mass,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
they always had a hope of coming home. But somewhere when the kids arrive, and then the grandkids, that dream goes, you know, and they end up here, you know.
Absolutely. Well, listen, you know, enjoy it, and we'll see you when you get back. But when are you coming home?
Well, would you believe it, my oldest daughter, Sarah, I was scheduled to come home on the 24th of May, but she managed to shift the ticket because I'm finished earlier. I'm finishing officially on the 2nd of May, and Sarah managed to get me an Aer Lingus change of flight, which was great. So I'm due home on the 6th of May, and looking forward to it, to be honest with you. A lot done. I think it was a Fianna Fáil slogan long ago, was it? A lot done,
a lot more to do. Yeah, they're still using it, so they are. Yeah. They haven't got it all done. But we won't go into politics at this hour of the morning, so we won't, but there you go.
Well, we won't go into American politics, whatever, Keith, I'd say, hopefully. But because I want to last till the end of May, or till the end of April, I should say.
Right. Yeah. Lovely to talk to you, and thanks to you for joining us today. That's the wonderful Sean O'Cushtel, indeed. Galway academic, indeed. I've known him for a long, long number of years, and he's just a very nice, decent soul, so he is. And congratulations to him. Lovely text has come in relation to Saoirse Ruan. Keith, every now and then, heaven runs short of beautiful angels, and they send down to earth to take one home. All I ever saw was a beautiful smile, the most amazing eyes, flying high, beautiful angel, and looking after your family. And loads of other comments coming in there in relation to the song. Keith, what a song, what a beautiful girl, devastated with the family flying high, beautiful Saoirse, and other calls coming in too, just in relation to Saoirse, absolutely heartbroken for the Ruan family. There's a very black cloud hanging over the area today. May Saoirse rest in pain-free peace, and they just keep coming from there, so they do so. Again, just to all involved, but especially to her mom and dad and her immediate family. Our thoughts are with them all today. Finally, local government is poorly funded. Everything is now centralised. Local councillors have no power at all. A case in point is the 49 million to Merview. Huh? What's 49 million to Merview? What are we talking about? Did Merview get 49 million? So I'm from there. Do I get a portion of that? Is it the lottery or something? We're back after news. What is that 49 million for in Merview?